Thank you, team. That was great. Great opening. Great to sing songs about someone that we can have confidence in, that is beyond what we can bring to the table. We have confidence in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. His value of us and what he looks at and what he sees when he looks down. The way that he's provided to bring us back to him just kind of puts it all together that there's a God that really cares. He cares about every little part of his life, our lives. This morning we're going to speak about trusting in the Lord with all our hearts. And I'm not sure that I am the right candidate to speak about this. I find this to be my largest and greatest challenge in my life. I don't do this well. And yet when I go back to God's word, and I go back to the truth of who God is, it brings me back to center, to understand that that's where I need to be and that's where I need to live. The story is told about the great Blondin. Charles Blondin was a 19th century French tightrope walker and acrobat. Blondin, you might have heard of him, and maybe you know a little bit about him, but Blondin walked tightropes all over the world. But his greatest fame came in September 1860 when he became the first person to walk across the mighty Niagara Falls from Canada to United States on a tightrope, about 1,100 feet, a quarter mile, 160 feet above the Roaring Falls. We did this many times. He walked back and forth, and each time he performed a more daring feat. Once he did it in a sack. I'm not sure how he did that, but I have a picture of it. Once on stilts, once on a bicycle, once in the dark, and he did it blindfolded. One time he carried a stove across, and halfway across he parked it, and he cooked an omelet and he ate it. Love the Frenchman. If there's not an omelet in there, it's just no good. The story is told that in one of his presentations of his tightrope walking, that the royal family was present, and he added to his bag of tricks a wheelbarrow, and he crossed over pushing a wheelbarrow, and he came back, and in the wheelbarrow was a sack of potatoes. And Blondin approached the royal party and asked the Duke of Newcastle, "Do you believe I can take a man across the tightrope in this wheelbarrow?" And Duke says, "Yes, I do." So Blondin says to him, "Then hop in." Well, the Duke declined Blondin's challenge. He might have believed that Blondin can do it, but he wasn't about to trust him with his life. When it comes to God, this kind of belief, it's not much good to God or to us either. God's looking for followers who will trust him with all their lives. This is a huge challenge for me, especially for us who understand in some measure who God is, and we've studied it and we read about it and we have a head knowledge, but we're a little bit shy when it comes to heart knowledge. Now, you can tell me a lot of things and I retain it fairly well, but if it stays right here, then that's really not all that useful. But when it moves down about 18 inches and it starts affecting this, that's when my head knowledge starts to make sense in my life practice. Last fall, we studied the attributes of God. God as he longs you and me to see him. And I believe we would all agree that that was a blessed time for our church family in studying this. Seeing God in all his character and attributes, I believe I learned things during that study that I may have heard, but now have a greater appreciation. We studied the goodness of God. By his nature, he is inclined to bestow blessedness, and he takes total pleasure in the happiness of his people. We study the sovereignty of God. God is to be worshipped because he's before all things. He's created all things. He upholds all things. He's above all things. He knows all things. He accomplishes all things. And he rules over all things. And praise God, he's in control of all things, even when it seems like everything is out of control. The holiness of God. There is nothing like divine holiness. It stands apart, unique. It's unapproachable, incomprehensible, and unattainable. The wisdom of God. We studied 1 Timothy 1:17. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. And we all said, amen. The justice of God. God is just. That means that he does and he is, and all he accomplishes is with perfect integrity, fairness, righteousness, and impartiality. Justice is not just a standard that God follows. He is the standard. We studied the love of God. I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither present nor the future nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ as in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 8, 38-39. And last but not least, we studied God's faithfulness. We sang about his faithfulness today. I need you. We need him because we can have confidence that he is who he says he is, and he'll do what he's promised to do. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 and 23, we read this. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised, has promised, is faithful. We were introduced to the eternal God of creation, and I trust in this audience this morning that you were not only introduced, but you actually have a relationship with the one who is the almighty God of all, the one who's omnipotent, all-powerful, the one who's omniscient, all-knowing, and the one who is omnipresent. He's in every place at the same time. And this is the God of heaven who saw it fit to send his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, down to this scene of sin and disparity to be abused and forsaken and nailed to a cross that he might shed his blood that you and I might have a relationship with him. I can't imagine that. It talks about Scripture, and in Scripture it talks about that for some rich men you might take a chance, and from good men you might do things that are daring, but God dies for us. Well, we're enemies, and we're against him. We're independent. We think we are, and we've gone our own way. And Christ Jesus dies for us, and he's asking each one of us in this room this morning to assess our lives, because what we sang about in the truth of reliance on the Almighty God, the Omnipotent One, means nothing. Let me repeat that. Means nothing unless you have a personal relationship with him. See, it's not good enough to believe about God. Even the demons do that. See, it's not good enough to have head knowledge like the Duke and like me. If I'd have been there, I'd have said the same thing. Hop in. Not in your life. See, it's not good enough to just believe that he could do it, but it's to jump in the wheelbarrow and put your trust and your faith in the one who claims to be who he is and is who he is and says he is, the God of creation. My heart, my head says I know these things, but my heart, offers a different story. So when he tells me to hop in the wheelbarrow, if you're like me, I've got, I either decline or I have 1 foot in and 1 foot out. And I'm kind of straddling the wheelbarrow, not too comfortable. This is the theme of the verses I want to share with you this morning. Perhaps the best known verses, well, maybe best known verses other than John 3:16, but for sure in the book of Proverbs. Many of us have committed these verses to memory either at Sunday school or in youth camps. I learned this group of verses, two verses, when I was a very young boy, and I can say them without even thinking about them. But as I've studied this over the last group of weeks, I realize that I'm not sure that I really take them to heart like I should. Let's read together Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It's going to be on the screen in the New King James Version. I'm going to read it through once. Is there a chance I can put this on the screen right here? Darren, if not, I can turn around, not a problem. It's not on. Okay. It's another challenge I have. I'm just an electrician. Okay, good. Thanks, buddy. I'm going to read it through, and then I want all of us to read it together, and I'll lead it out. But first of all, let's read Proverbs chapter 3. Listen as I read through. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths, or he shall make your paths straight. Let's read together, all of us, starting verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Great verses and a great challenge. I'm going to go through the two verses in four headings, basically just repeating what the verse says. The first one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. The call here for a Christian is to have the sort of trust that makes us prepared to put our entire life in God's hands. See, the part of that verse that's really challenging is not just trust in the Lord with your heart, but it says trust in the Lord with all your heart. Simply believing, I said this already, in God is not good enough. I'm sorry. We have to have faith, and trust is the practical outworking of that faith. And I have to admit that faith at times seems somewhat hazy and vague, doesn't it? It's hard to pin down exactly what faith means. It's hard to know really if we have faith. I know a man at work, and we were talking the other day, we were talking about a friend of ours mutually that's going through troubles. And you've heard this statement before, and he made this statement. I'm not sure of the man's spirituality, but he said, we have to have faith. And in my own mind, I approached this and I says, what does he mean by, what do you mean by that, I have to have faith? See, we can understand what trust is. Each one of us puts our faith, our trust in things every day. In fact, you that are sitting right down in the center of this auditorium, you're putting your trust in the iron workers that took the center beam out and put a beam right across to open this up. There was Jim Biederman, and there was Bruce Kane, and there was Don Dufour and Gord Childs, and we trust that they did all the welds right and that they fit everything so it doesn't land on our heads. So we understand what trust is. We trust in the bank or the financial institutions where you deposited last week's check, don't you? That they're not going to lose your money and that they'll invest it well. We trust our PVR recorders to come on at the right time. I can't run it at all. But you trust, if you know how to push the buttons right, you trust your PVR to come on at the right time to record your favorite program. We trust airplanes and pilots to take us to where we go on our air travel seamless and without incidents. We exercise trust quite easily and often in our day and our times, and we do it unthinkingly. We understand what that means. And trust is the practical outworking of faith. It's when we trust God that we show that we really have faith in Him. This verse, starting verse 4, calls out that it's not a partial or a piecemeal trust. No, it's a complete trust in God, trusting God with all and all of our lives, our whole lives. And we can't pick and choose. I've been guilty of this. I do this often. I say, Lord, okay, I'll trust you with my marriage, but not with my career. Lord, I'll trust you with my friends, but not in the girlfriend I pick or my boyfriend. I trust you with some of my friends, but and my children, but I'm not going to trust you with my money or my toys. See, we're to trust God with our whole hearts. That means everything that our lives are encompassing, we need to lay at the altar of the Almighty and say, I trust you with it. We have to get in the wheelbarrow. We are to trust the Lord with all our heart. And how can we ensure that we're trusting God with all our heart? Well, it continues in the verse. Lean not on your own understanding. The problem is we think we know better than God. If you're like me, we think we've got it figured out ahead of God. All of us are tempted to do, and if we would have read through the chapter, it says in chapter 3 and verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. See, that's the temptation I have, is to do things my own way. We think we know better than God. We think that we can make decisions better, but the reality is, we know that from our parents, Adam and Eve, that our decisions are crooked and somewhat unreliable. It seems that even though I know that, I keep on doing the same thing. I want to be like Frank Sinatra, and I did it my way. And I just trust that somewhere along the way, he relied on God's way. I'm not sure how that's working out for him right now. But I can't continue in my life doing it my way if I'm going to look at God and say, here, God, make things well for me. Straighten out my path, and I don't trust him with all my heart, and I rely on my own understanding. It's like getting in the wheelbarrow, and think of this. It's like getting in the wheelbarrow with Blondin, and halfway across, we say, hold it, Blondin. I think you're doing it wrong. And we get out, and we push the wheelbarrow across ourselves. How do you think that's going to work out for us, 160 feet above the falls? Yeah, we do it every day in our life. I do it. I take God's truth and I take what I know and I say, yeah, yeah, and then I lean on my own understanding. It's madness to think that we can do it any other way than total trust in God. We believe we know better and how to run our lives. We lean on our own understanding. And sometimes when we're into problems and we're into difficulties, we solve them, we start solving them right away, and then we commit them to God for his direction. We've got to reverse that whole process, and we've got to commit them to God first and then ask God to show us how we can move forward to solve some of the issues leaning on God. What's the alternative to leaning on our own understanding? It's to lean on God's truth. We read this in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. I think about this. This is who I'm trying to outsmart and outthink. This is what God says. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, this is what it says. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding, and I'm going to rely on my own understanding. How do we do this? Well, Proverbs 3 and 1 says, and I was going to read the chapter or part of the chapter, it says, my son, do not forget my law. And that's one of the ways where we can lean on God's understanding, is to understand what God says and what he's instructing us. And that's what we get from this holy book, the Bible. Lean on the wisdom of God's word as we read it and we daily understand it through his power of his Spirit, then we learn to think his thoughts, and we learn to think after him, to think in his ways. And that will help us trust God with all of our heart. Let's move on to verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him. This is interesting. The emphasis in this verse isn't so much acknowledging him. That's kind of taken for granted. I think in some way we all acknowledge God. In fact, we might all acknowledge God in our lives, but what it says in all your ways, acknowledge God. That's my challenge. In all your ways part is really challenging in my life, because running right through the lives of many people that sit in church pews is this divide between what they see as their Christian life and what they see as their non-Christian life. Seems like it's a wall, and the two shall never meet. And some call it the sacred and secular divide. See, this divide is based on the assumption that God cares about what I do on Sunday at church, but he doesn't care what I do Monday at work or in the office. The assumption is that God cares about who I give my money to, but he doesn't care how I make my money in the first place. The assumption is that God cares about what church I attend, but he doesn't care about what neighborhood I live in. It's the assumption that God cares about my Bible reading, but he doesn't care about my television watching. It's these two worlds that we struggle in, and we don't acknowledge God in all of our lives. We say, Lord, you know what? I'm going to divide my world up because that's how I like it. I want you to stay out of this, and I want you to be part of this. I feel confident here, but Lord, I don't trust you for this part. I don't want you organizing this part of my life. I want to be independent. But God passionately wants to break down this dividing barrier. And he wants to be God in all our life. We sing a song that says this: all my tomorrows, all my past, Jesus is Lord of all. I've quit my struggles. Contentment at last. Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords. Do we believe that this morning? I sing this song, I have to stay quiet in a few of these verses. I have a hard time saying them because do I really believe them? King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all, is he? All my possessions and all of my life, Jesus is Lord of all of my longings and all of my dreams. Jesus is Lord of all of my failures, his power redeems. I believe that. Jesus is Lord of all. That's the call for each one of us this morning. And in all our ways, we're to acknowledge him. Not in some of the ways. Not in the ways that are just convenient for our lifestyle. But in all our ways, we will acknowledge him. That means God's with us in the office. God's with us in the car when we're driving. And I have to admit, that's not a fun place to be. God's with us when we're watching television. God's with us when we're on the computer. And God's with us when we're at the bar. See, there's no secular, sacred world. It's all sacred to God, because God wants all of us. He doesn't want part of us. And the danger in continuing with this half and half is that you're sitting on the edge in this wheelbarrow, and it's not comfortable, is it? And there's a possibility that we're going to fall out of the wheelbarrow. And God wants us to be all in. He wants us to in fact, you could throw that picture now, Darren. He wants us to be into this wheelbarrow, and he wants us to trust him with all of our heart. And he wants us to think about his ways above our ways, and he wants us to acknowledge him in every way. And the last part of the verse says, and he will make our path straight, or we will direct our paths. On the face of this looks encouraging, and it is very encouraging. But this is the challenge I'm having this morning. And it's a promise of God that he's going to bring us to the end, which he's promised for all of the children that trust him, that in the ages to come, Ephesians says, that he's going to show us the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. We don't even know what that's going to look like. We can't even imagine how great that's going to be. But on the way, the way that God brings us may be not the way that you and I choose. It's a warning that our way in life has to be God's way. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14 says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many there are that are on that road. But narrow is the gate and difficult the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it." See, God's way may not be the way that I naturally choose. And I'm challenged this morning. We're announcing the difficulties we have. How do we find our way straight when we're diagnosed with cancer? How do we find our way straight? How is the road straight when all of a sudden I had everything planned and it falls apart and God's turning me in a different direction? Do I have faith to get in that wheelbarrow? Do I have faith to trust Him when my relatives or others are dying of incurable diseases, when there's economic disaster in my family or in my own life, when things are falling apart in my marriage, when things are devastated in terms of what I've planned and what I expect? Do we really trust that He's guiding us across the tightrope, 160 feet above the falls? Do we get in and say, "God, I resign, and in all my ways I'm going to acknowledge You, and I'm going to trust You, and I'm going to understand that You're sovereign, and You're holy, and You're righteous, and everything that You do is for a reason, and I'm going to allow You to work through my life to bring to fruition what You've planned?" I am challenged. I have to be honest, but every day I get down on my knees and I say, "Lord, help me live through these verses. Help me trust in You the way I need to trust in You." We sang last week, "I Surrender All." I tell you, I was singing those words and I was saying, do I really surrender all to the Lord? Or do I keep a few things in my pocket that is my business and only mine? God, you don't know how to handle this. I can take care of it. The final element of trusting God is with all our hearts is that we're prepared to go wherever God takes us. And sometimes even looking back, we can't see how straight the path is. But He's promised that He's going to make our paths straight. That means God's plan is above our plans and His ways above our ways. And we can trust Him because He is the one, as we read, is faithful. Conclusion. Are we prepared to go where God is taking us? Are we prepared to trust Him to make our path straight? Are we prepared to lay everything at His feet and say, "Lord, take my life and let it be"? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Get in the wheelbarrow. And I'm talking to myself. How many times I'm pushing the wheelbarrow and I tell the other guy to go back home? Get in the wheelbarrow and let the Lord direct us. Lean not on our own understanding. Don't get out and try to push it yourself. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Make sure you are fully in and you're not going to fall out. And He will make straight your path. Be prepared to go where God is taking you. See, this works well when things are going well, but it's not so easy to do when things are difficult. As the team comes up and we prepare to sing a closing song, I want you to listen to the words that this song shares, and it's called Hidden. And I'm so thankful that I'm hidden in God's hand. We sang about this morning, that He hides us, He covers us in the cleft of His hand. He's here to take care of us. Graham shared with us this morning a near-miss incident with a moose. That's not happenstance. That's God taking care of us. The providence of God and His goodness to us. And this is what it says. "And I am hidden in the safety of Your love. I trust Your heart and Your intentions." Do we trust God's intentions? "I trust You completely. I'm listening intently. You'll guide me through the many shadows." Let's stand and sing this together, and then we'll close in prayer. Go ahead.